You open the dead front and see the story in metal, a crowded directory with pencil edits, a heater someone added last winter, a disposal the owner wired on a whim. The inspector is due after lunch. You need one clear answer for each circuit, what it draws, how long it runs, which breaker it needs. You run the numbers out loud so your mind stays steady. Volts, watts, amps. You mark continuous where it fits. You set a target that will not trip on normal use. You refuse to hide a wiring fault behind a bigger breaker. The panel label is your law. The weakest termination sets your limits. You picture the inspector's checklist. Correct size. Correct type. Clean torque. Clear label. You take a breath and decide to build it right, one circuit at a time. That is how you pass today and sleep tonight. Chapter 1. The Rule of the Load. Hook. Know the load, say it out loud, and the breaker size falls into place. Scope. You will size breakers for general branch circuits in homes and light commercial spaces. That includes lighting circuits and general purpose receptacles. It also includes small cord and plug loads with clear nameplates. This chapter does not cover special equipment with unique rules. That means motors, air conditioners, welders, and electric vehicle chargers are out of scope. You will stay with simple branch circuits and fixed loads you can read or calculate. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out the panel. Confirm 0 volts with a meter before you touch any conductor. Keep your body grounded and your hands dry. Use insulated tools. Keep a fire extinguisher within reach. Respect crowded panels and brittle insulation. If you see heat damage, stop and plan a safe repair before you continue. Tools and materials. Multimeter that reads volts and continuity. Clamp meter for current when testing known circuits. Torque screwdriver for breaker lugs. Notebook and pencil. Labels for the directory. Flashlight. Manufacturer instructions on the panel door. A basic load chart you build as you go. Setup. Confirm service size and available spaces in the panel. Read the panel label. Note the temperature rating of terminals. Identify wire sizes already landed on each breaker. Pull the device or look at the appliance to find a nameplate. You will use the actual numbers when you can. If a load has no clear nameplate, you will calculate using watts and volts. Steps. Step 1. Speak the units and the math. Learn the triangle by heart. Watts equal volts times amps. Amps equal watts divided by volts. Volts equal watts divided by amps. You will say the units out loud. That keeps you honest while you work. If a lamp is rated 60 watts on 120 volts, the current is 0.5 amps. If a space heater is 1,500 watts on 120 volts, the current is 12.5 amps. If a toaster oven is 1,000 watts on 120 volts, the current is 8.3 amps. You write the number, the units, and the source. That prevents guesswork later. Step 2. Decide if the load is continuous. A continuous load runs for 3 hours or more. Mark it when you see it. Store lighting in a retail aisle can run all day. Corridor lighting can run all day. A small space heater usually does not run for 3 hours straight, but a baseboard heater can. If it is continuous, you adjust the current to 125%. A 10-amp continuous load becomes 12.5 amps for breaker and conductor sizing. You will say the adjustment out loud. 10 amps times 1.25 equals 12.5 amps. You write both numbers on your worksheet. Step 3. Separate general circuits from special ones. General-purpose receptacles can have many small loads that cycle on and off. You do not size the breaker for the worst possible pile of devices. You size the branch circuit with normal diversity in mind. A bedroom circuit with lamps and phone chargers is light. A living room with a television and a few lamps is light. A kitchen is not light. Kitchen small appliance circuits are handled later in the series. Stay with general rooms here. If a circuit serves a fixed load like a built-in heater or a single bath fan with heat, read the nameplate and treat it as a fixed appliance. If you see a motor, stop and move it to the special equipment list for later chapters. Step 4. Read the nameplate when it exists. A label that states volts and amps is gold. A bath fan might read 1.5 amps at 120 volts. That is simple work. A baseboard heater might read 2,000 watts at 240 volts. 2,000 watts divided by 240 volts is 8.3 amps. If that heater is expected to run for more than 3 hours in cold weather, treat it as continuous, and adjust to 10.4 amps. You add 125% for breaker and conductor selection. You write both numbers and the label source. Step 5. Calculate when the nameplate is missing. Some fixtures and devices list only watts. That is fine. A string of recessed LED downlights might list 10 watts each at 120 volts. 10 fixtures total 100 watts. 100 watts divided by 120 volts is 0.83 amps. That is not continuous in most homes, but a public lobby may be. If it is continuous, adjust to 1.04 amps. The point is not the small number. The point is the habit of getting numbers right and recording them. Step 6. Recognize circuit type and typical loads. A 15-amp lighting circuit on 120 volts is common. A 20-amp general receptacle circuit on 120 volts is common. A two-pole 30-amp circuit on 240 volts for a small fixed heater can appear. You will not jump to breaker size yet. You are building a load list first. For each circuit, you write items and their running current. You flag any item that is continuous. You note any device that cycles hard at start. You will handle starting and special cases in later chapters. For now, you keep the math clean and steady. Step 7. Sum the expected running current for fixed loads. If a circuit serves two baseboard heaters on 240 volts, add them. A heater at 2000 watts is 8.3 amps. Two heaters on the same circuit are 16.6 amps. If you expect them to run for more than 3 hours, adjust. 16.6 amps times 1.25 equals 20.75 amps. You round your thinking to a clear target. You now know the adjusted running current. You are still not picking the breaker. You first will check terminal temperature limits in the next chapter. Step 8. Use conservative voltage values for quick math. Use 120 volts and 240 volts as your base unless a nameplate calls out a different value. Do not use the dream number of a fully charged system. Keep the math simple and repeatable on site. If you are in a region with 208 volts in a three-phase building, say that number out loud and write it in your notes. Do not mix it with 240 volts. Clear numbers prevent mistakes. Step 9. Keep your running example sheet. Build a small table in your notebook. List common items. Lamps at 60 watts are 0.5 amps at 120 volts. Vacuum at 1200 watts is 10 amps at 120 volts. Portable air purifier at 60 watts is 0.5 amps at 120 volts. Ceiling fan at 75 watts is 0.63 amps at 120 volts. Bathroom fan without heat is 1.5 amps at 120 volts. A toaster at 1000 watts is 8.3 amps at 120 volts. You can speak these numbers fast on site and not guess. That saves you when the room is busy and the schedule is tight. Step 10. Mark circuits that deserve their own home. Some fixed appliances do best on a dedicated circuit even when the current looks small. A microwave can have short bursts that hit hard. A home office with sensitive gear benefits from isolation. You note these choices for planning. You will size the breaker by the actual load. You will also consider user behavior. If a device may run for long periods, treat it as a continuous load and apply 125%. Verify. Read the panel label one more time. Confirm breaker spaces. Confirm any rules the manufacturer calls out for conductor size and lug torque. Check for mixed metals. Copper and aluminum need correct lugs and paste where listed. Energize a known circuit and verify voltage at a receptacle. De-energize and tag out again. Do a clamp reading on a few sample circuits under normal use to compare with your math. If the numbers disagree by a wide margin, find out why before you move on. Common fails and fixes. Guessing at loads. Fix by reading the nameplate or calculating watts over volts. Ignoring the 3-hour rule. Fix by marking continuous and multiplying by 125%. Treating a kitchen small appliance circuit like a bedroom circuit. Fix by learning the special rules and using dedicated circuits where required. Letting a big portable heater live on a crowded general receptacle circuit. Fix by educating the owner and planning a dedicated solution where needed. Rounding away from safety. Fix by using the real number and writing it down. Document. Photo each nameplate you used. Photo your notebook page with the math lines next to the room label. Photo the panel label so you can reference terminal ratings later. Update the directory with clear words that a resident can understand. Bedroom east. Living room north wall. Baseboard heat hall. If you used a clamp meter, note the time and the reading so you can compare at a later visit. Recap. Watts over volts gives amps. Say it out loud. Mark continuous loads and multiply by 125%. Build a clean load list before you touch breaker size. Chapter 2, Temperature Ratings and Ampacity. Hook. The weakest temperature rating in the path decides how many amps your wire can carry. Scope. You will set allowable ampacity for common branch circuit conductors in homes and light commercial spaces. You will read conductor type, size, and material. You will read the temperature rating on terminations. You will choose the ampacity from the lowest rating you find. You will not set breaker size yet. You will not cover location-based protection or multi-wire branch circuits here. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out the panel. Verify 0 volts with your meter before you touch any conductor. Keep one hand clear when you can. Use insulated tools. Respect brittle insulation and crowded gutters. If you see heat-damaged lugs or melted insulation, stop and plan the repair before you proceed. Tools and materials. Panel label or door legend. Conductor gauge tool. Flashlight. Torx screwdriver. Your pocket ampacity chart for 60, 75, and 90-degree columns. Notebook for photos and numbers. Manufacturer sheets for breakers and lugs if they are available on site. Setup. Open the dead front. Read the panel label for lug temperature ratings. Many small breakers and lugs are rated for 60 or 75 degrees Celsius. Find the conductor type at the jacket print or at a clean cut end. Say it out loud. 12 AWG copper NM-B. After the first time you will say 12 gauge copper. 4 wires in raceway. Read the print. You may see THHN or XHHW. Note copper or aluminum. Note each termination on the path. Breaker lug. Splice connector. Device screw. Bonding lug if present. The lowest temperature rating you find will control your ampacity pick. Steps. Step 1. Identify conductor material and size. You start with material. Copper carries more current than aluminum at the same size. Aluminum needs one size larger for the same load in many cases. Say the size clearly. 14 AWG copper. 12 AWG copper. 10 AWG copper. 8 AWG aluminum. Write the size and material in your notes. If the print is worn, use your gauge tool at a clean end. Do not guess. Step 2. Read each termination for temperature rating. You will not assume. You will read. Breaker lugs often show a temperature class on the label. Many small devices in branch circuits are limited by 60-degree terminations. Some panels and breakers allow 75-degree terminations when all parts are listed for it. Splice connectors and wire nuts can also carry markings. If one item in the path is limited to 60 degrees, you must select ampacity from the 60-degree column. Say it out loud. Lowest rating controls. Write the number. Step 3. Match cable or wire type to its base behavior. You will treat cable assemblies and single conductors correctly. NM-B cable. The jacket print states 90-degree insulation for the individual conductors inside the cable. In practice, you still size ampacity for the 60-degree column because terminations in small equipment run at 60 degrees and because the cable assembly is limited that way for ampacity selection. Say it. NM-B uses the 60-degree column for ampacity. THHN in raceway. This insulation is rated for 90 degrees Celsius. You may use the 90-degree column for adjustment and correction later, but your final ampacity for equipment sizing must not exceed the lowest termination rating. Most small breakers and lugs can accept 75-degree ampacity if marked for it. If the lugs are only 60-degree, you will use 60-degree ampacity. Lowest rating wins. XHHW. This insulation often carries a 90-degree rating as well. Treat it like THHN for the process. Use 90 degree for adjustment and correction when allowed, but cap the final value at the lowest termination class. Step 4. Pull the ampacity from the correct column. Now you open your chart. You pick the row by size and material. You pick the column by the lowest termination rating that you found. Speak the common values so they are clear for audio. 4 copper at 60 degrees. 14 gauge copper has a small conductor limit in practice that you will follow next chapter. In the field, you pair it with a 15-amp breaker. 12-gauge copper supports 20 amps. 10-gauge copper supports 30 amps. 4 copper at 75 degrees. Values rise compared to 60 degrees. 10-gauge copper shows a higher allowable ampacity than 30 amps on the chart. You will still respect small conductor rules and equipment markings when you set the breaker later. For aluminum at 75 degrees, allowable ampacities are lower than copper. Plan to step up one size to carry the same load. 8-gauge aluminum often lands where 10-gauge copper lives in practice. You will confirm with your chart and the lowest termination rating. Do not lock a breaker size here. You are setting the wire's allowable amps under its real limits. Breaker selection comes after you also respect device rules, small conductor limits, and the actual load. You will handle that in Chapter 3. Step 5. Work one end-to-end copper example. Say the job. A lighting and receptacle circuit wired with 12-gauge copper NM-B. You read the breaker lug. The label does not upgrade you to 75 degrees. You set the column at 60 degrees. 12-gauge copper at 60 degrees supports 20 amps. Write it. 12-gauge copper NM-B. Lowest term 60. Allowable ampacity 20 amps. Now check the load. From Chapter 1, you calculated 15.6 amps adjusted for a continuous condition. 15.6 is less than 20. The conductor is acceptable for that load under its temperature limits. You do not pick the breaker yet. You will confirm pairings and device rules in Chapter 3. Step 6. Work one end-to-end wiring conduit example. Say the job. A dedicated load uses 10-gauge copper THHN in metal conduit from a panel with 75-degree lugs. You confirm both breaker and panel lugs are marked for 75 degrees. Your lowest termination is 75. You open your chart. 10-gauge copper at 75 degrees carries an allowable ampacity that is higher than 30 amps. Write the number from your chart. Then cap your thinking. Small conductor rules for branch circuits and device ratings may still limit your breaker to 30 amps. You will settle that in Chapter 3 when you set standard pairings. For now, the wire under its real temperature limits can carry more than 30 amps. Note that truth and carry it forward. Step 7. Call out aluminum cautions. Say the job. A feeder tap in a small outbuilding uses aluminum XHHW conductors. You read the lugs. They are marked for 75 degrees and AL/CU. You confirm antioxidant compound if listed by the connector. You pick ampacity from the 75-degree column for aluminum. You will see that aluminum needs a larger size to carry a given load compared to copper. For branch circuits, in many homes you avoid small aluminum sizes. If you inherit one, you follow local code, listing, and repair guidance with care. Write the material. Write the lug rating. Choose the ampacity from the lowest temperature rating. Step 8. Anchor the rule with a quick field checklist. You will not guess. You will read. You will always write material, size, and insulation type. You will always write the lowest temperature rating along the path. You will always pick ampacity from the matching column for that lowest rating. You will carry the number into your breaker decision later, not now. Step 9. Respect bundle and heat notes without doing the math yet. If you see more than 3 current carrying conductors in one raceway, or you see attic heat, you will mark a note for adjustment and correction. You will do the math in Chapter 6. Today you only set the base ampacity from temperature, class, and material. You will not ignore heat and bundling. You will sequence your work and keep the steps clean. Step 10. Build a quick voice table for the job site. Speak these out loud until they are automatic. 12-gauge copper NM-B, lowest term 60. Allowable ampacity 20 amps. 10-gauge copper THHN with 75-degree lugs. Allowable ampacity higher than 30 amps by the chart. Final breaker still subject to device and small conductor limits. 8-gauge aluminum XHHW with 75-degree lugs. Lower ampacity than copper. One size larger to carry the same load compared to copper. You will replace the general phrases with exact chart numbers from your card on site. Read the number twice for the record when it is critical. Verify. Confirm that your notes show size, material, insulation type, and the lowest termination rating. Photograph the panel label that shows the lug class. Photograph a clean section of cable jacket or wire print to prove NM-B or THHN or XHHW. If the job uses mixed metals, confirm the lugs are listed for copper and aluminum. Write the allowable ampacity you selected and the column it came from. Read it back. 12 gauge copper. 60 degree column. 20 amps. Common fails and fixes. Assuming the 90 degree column because the insulation says 90. Fix it by capping the final ampacity at the lowest termination rating. Using the 75 degree column without proof. Fix it by reading the breaker and panel labels. If in doubt, drop to 60. Forgetting that NM-B uses the 60 degree column for ampacity selection. Fix it by writing NM-B equals 60 degree column in your setup notes every time. Mixing copper and aluminum under a connector not listed for both. Fix it by installing the correct connector, using antioxidant if listed, and torquing to spec. Seeing a higher chart value and jumping to a larger breaker. Fix it by holding the breaker decision for Chapter 3 and respecting small conductor limits and device listings. Document. Photo the breaker or panel label that shows the lug temperature class. Photo the cable jacket or wire print. Photo your notebook page that lists size, material, insulation type, lowest termination, and the chosen column. If you changed any lugs or connectors, photo the part number and the torque mark. Write the final line. Allowable ampacity set by lowest termination at 60 or 75 degrees. Number pulled from chart. Recap. Lowest temperature rating wins. Pick ampacity from the matching column for that rating and for that material. Carry the number forward and set the breaker only after you respect device rules and small conductor limits. Chapter 3, Standard Pairings and Panel Rules. Hook. Pair the wire and the breaker the way the listing expects, and inspectors say yes. Scope. You will match common branch circuit conductors to standard breaker sizes and frames in homes and light commercial spaces. You will read the panel legend, respect listing, and avoid unlabeled devices. You will set pairings that do not exceed conductor limits from the last chapter. You will not cover location protection, derating, or shared neutrals here. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out the panel. Verify 0 volts with your meter before you touch conductors. Use insulated tools and keep your work area dry and stable. Tools and materials. Torque screwdriver. Multimeter. Conductor gauge tool. Flashlight. Your ampacity card. Panel door legend. Breaker data label. Directory labels and pencil. Non-contact voltage tester for quick checks. Setup. Open the dead front and read the panel legend. Confirm the exact breaker types the panel lists. Some panels accept tandems only in marked positions. Some do not accept tandems at all. Read the breaker data label for wire size ranges and copper or aluminum markings. Bring forward your Chapter 2 result for allowable ampacity based on the lowest termination rating. Now you can set the standard pairing without overprotecting the wire. Steps. Step 1. Confirm conductor size and material against your notes. Say it out loud. 14 AWG copper. 12 AWG copper. 10 AWG copper. If aluminum is present, say the size and confirm the lug allows aluminum. Write the truth you see. Step 2. Apply the small conductor rule for copper branch circuits. 14 gauge copper pairs with a 15 amp breaker. 12 gauge copper pairs with a 20 amp breaker. 10 gauge copper pairs with a 30 amp breaker. Do not exceed these values for general branch circuits. If your ampacity card shows a higher number at a warmer column, hold the line. The pairing still caps at these ratings for small conductors. Step 3. Select pole count to match circuit voltage and device needs. 120 volt branch circuits use a single pole breaker. 240 volt loads use a two pole breaker with common trip. Never feed a 240 volt load from two unrelated single poles. Choose common trip. That is the safe path the inspector expects. Step 4. Check the panel legend for breaker type and location. Only install tandems where the legend allows them. If the legend shows full size only in a row, use full size. If the legend marks certain spaces for tandem use, follow those marks. Do not exceed the panel circuit count. Listing controls the layout, not your hopes. Step 5. Match breaker frame and wire range. Read the breaker label for the allowed wire sizes and materials. Confirm the lug accepts one conductor and the size you have. Do not double up conductors under a single lug unless the breaker label states it is listed for two. If you need a handle tie, use the listed part for the breaker family or use a common trip device. Step 6. Land the conductor and torque to the printed spec. Strip to the mark on the lug. Insert the wire fully. Tighten with the torque screwdriver to the listed value on the panel or breaker. If the label says 35-inch pounds, set 35-inch pounds. Repeat, 35-inch pounds. Mark the lug with a small paint dot or a note in your log to show it has been torqued. Step 7. Update the directory with clear language. Write the room and the purpose in words a resident understands. Bedroom east lights and receptacles. Living room north wall receptacles. Dishwasher dedicated. Add the breaker rating as part of your note. You will add protection type later when you set location rules in the next chapter. Step 8. Seat the dead front and confirm handle alignment. Check that each breaker handle moves cleanly to on and off. Check that a two-pole handle toggles both poles together. Ensure no bus stabs are exposed. Confirm the panel cover sits flat and all screws are snug. Verify. Energize the panel. Measure voltage at a sample device on each new or adjusted circuit. For 120-volt circuits, confirm around 120 volts under a normal load. For 240-volt circuits, confirm around 240 volts phase to phase. Trip test if the breaker has a test function. Confirm the label lines match the spaces used. Photograph the legend with a circle on the slots you populated. Read back your pairings for the record. 12-gauge copper on a 20-amp single pole. 10-gauge copper on a 30-amp two-pole. All torques complete to the printed spec. Common fails and fixes. Oversizing the breaker because the chart shows a higher number at a warmer column. Fix it by applying the small conductor rule for 14, 12, and 10 copper and staying at 15, 20, and 30 amps. Using tandems in spaces the legend does not approve. Fix it by moving the tandems to marked spaces or by converting to full-size breakers where required. Installing a breaker type not listed for the panel. Fix it by using only breakers the legend names. If you cannot source the listed type, use an approved replacement path through a qualified supplier. Double lugging under a single terminal that allows only one conductor. Fix it by adding an approved splice or by moving one conductor to a separate breaker as designed. Feeding a 240-volt load from two unrelated single poles. Fix it by installing a two-pole common trip breaker size to the conductor and load. Ignoring wire size ranges on the breaker label. Fix it by confirming the lug accepts the gauge you are landing and the material you are using. Skipping torque. Fix it by returning with a torque screwdriver and tightening to the printed value. Say the number twice and record it. Document. Photo the panel legend with your finger pointing to the breaker type and the tandem notes. Photo each new breaker in place with the rating visible. Photo the conductor at the lug and the strip length. Photo the torque value on the label and write the exact value in your log. Read it back in your notes. Torque to 35-inch pounds. Repeat. 35-inch pounds. Photo the updated directory with plain language. Save all images with room names and circuit numbers. Recap. 14, 12, and 10 copper pair with 15, 20, and 30-amp breakers for general branch circuits. Only use breaker types and tandem positions the panel legend allows, and choose common trip for 240-volt loads. Land conductors once, torque to the printed value, and write a clear directory line the inspector and the resident can trust. Chapter 4. Protection by location. Hook. Pick the protection for the room so shocks and hidden arcs do not win. Scope. You will choose arc fault and ground fault protection by room, and use gear that matches the need. You will decide between a breaker solution and a first device solution. You will wire, label, and test the protection point. You will not cover ampacity, panel labeling, or heat and bundling adjustments in this chapter. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out the panel before you move or land conductors. Verify 0 volts with your meter. Re-energize only when it is time to test. Keep the area dry and clear. Tools and materials. AFCI breakers. GFCI breakers. Dual function AFCI plus GFCI breakers. GFCI receptacles listed for feed through. Weather-resistant receptacles for outdoor locations. In-use covers for outdoor boxes. Torque screwdriver. 2-lead multimeter. Plug-in GFCI tester with a test button. Labels that read GFCI protected. Notebook and marker. Setup. Walk the rooms on the circuit. List every outlet, luminaire, and device the circuit serves. Mark the spaces that are sleeping areas, living areas, hallways, and closets. Mark the spaces that are kitchens, bathrooms, laundries, garages, basements, crawl spaces, and outdoor points. Note any sink locations and any receptacles that are within 6 feet of the sink rim. Local code decides details. When in doubt, plan for more protection, not less. Steps. Step 1. Decide where you need GFCI. GFCI protects people from ground faults. Typical spaces that call for GFCI include bathrooms, garages, unfinished basements, outdoors, crawl spaces, laundry areas, and most receptacles that serve kitchen counters. Receptacles within 6 feet of a sink usually need GFCI. Many dishwashers and disposals now require GFCI, even when hardwired. Read the local rules. When a receptacle is outside, use a weather-resistant device and an in-use cover in addition to GFCI. Step 2. Decide where you need AFCI. AFCI protects the building from arc faults. In many homes, most habitable rooms require AFCI. Bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, family rooms, hallways, closets, and similar spaces are common AFCI areas. Kitchens and laundries often require AFCI as well. Many jurisdictions expect both arc fault and ground fault protection where the two lists overlap. You will confirm the local adoption and act accordingly. Step 3. Choose the protection method. You have three common paths. Breaker-based. Install a GFCI breaker or an AFCI breaker at the panel. A dual-function breaker provides both protections on one device. This protects the entire circuit from the panel onward. First device-based. Install a GFCI receptacle at the first outlet and use the load terminals to protect downstream outlets. This protects all downstream devices, but not the cable between the panel and the first device. It does not provide arc fault protection by itself. Mixed path. Use a dual function breaker when both protections are required. Use a plain breaker with a first device GFCI only when AFCI is not required in that area. When both are required, the clean answer is a dual function breaker. Step 4. Place the protection point. If you use a GFCI receptacle to protect downstream outlets, you must locate the first device. Kill power and open boxes to confirm the feed and the out wires. The line terminals take the feed from the panel. The load terminals feed the rest of the circuit. Only connect the load terminals when you intend to protect downstream outlets. Mark the downstream covers with the words GFCI protected. Do not guess. Confirm with your plug-in tester after you energize. Step 5. Land the breaker correctly. At the panel, read the breaker label. Some AFCI and GFCI breakers use a neutral pigtail to the neutral bar. Some have a plug-on neutral interface. The load neutral for the protected circuit must return to the breaker neutral terminal when the breaker requires it. Strip to the mark. Insert the conductor fully. Torque to the printed value. If the label says 35 inch pounds, set 35 inch pounds. Repeat, 35 inch pounds. Seat the breaker and check that the handle aligns. Step 6. Wire a GFCI receptacle correctly. Kill power. Pull the device. Identify line and load. The line side receives the feed from the panel. The load side feeds downstream. Tighten the terminal screws to the device specification. Place the yellow or white sticker that says GFCI protected on each downstream device you intend to protect. If you are replacing a two-wire ungrounded receptacle with GFCI protection, use the label that states no equipment ground when required by local code. That label tells the truth to anyone who checks later. Step 7. Handle overlap areas with one clean choice. In a kitchen, laundry, or finished basement, both protections may be required. The simplest path is a dual function breaker at the panel. That one choice gives arc fault and ground fault protection to the entire branch circuit. It also avoids confusion at downstream devices. If you already have a dedicated GFCI device at a disposal or a dishwasher, you may keep it, but confirm that the dual function breaker and the device play well together. If nuisance trips appear, move the GFCI function to the breaker alone and use a standard device at the appliance if local code permits. Step 8. Respect outdoor and damp location details. Use weather-resistant receptacles where outdoor GFCI is required. Use an in-use cover so the cord can be plugged in with the cover closed. Seal the top of the box with a small bead so rain does not enter the wall. When a receptacle is under a porch or in a damp basement, treat it as a damp location and use listed gear. The GFCI function still applies by location, and the hardware must survive the environment. Verify. Restore power. Press the test button on each GFCI device. The power should drop, and the reset should pop. Press reset to restore power. If a plugin tester has a GFCI test, use it as a secondary check. Press the test button on each AFCI or dual function breaker. The handle should move to trip. Reset and confirm the circuit holds under a small load such as a lamp or a vacuum. If a test fails, de-energize and recheck line and load orientation, neutral routing at the breaker, and any shared connections that should not be shared on the circuit. Common fails and fixes. Reversing line and load on a GFCI device. Fix it by moving the panel feed to line and the downstream conductors to load. Protecting only the last receptacle and leaving earlier outlets near a sink unprotected. Fix it by moving the GFCI device to the first device or by installing a GFCI breaker. Skipping AFCI in a living area. Fix it by installing an AFCI or a dual function breaker that covers both needs. Adding a GFCI at an appliance and a GFCI at the panel and chasing nuisance trips. Fix it by using one GFCI function in the system, usually at the breaker when both protections are needed. Forgetting weather-resistant devices and in-use covers outdoors. Fix it by swapping the device and cover to the listed types and sealing the top edge. Leaving labels off downstream outlets that are GFCI protected. Fix it by placing the correct stickers so future techs and inspectors understand the protection path. Document. Photo the panel with the breaker type visible. Photo the breaker label that shows AFCI, GFCI, or dual function. Photo the GFCI device showing the line and load terminations before you close the box. Photo the downstream covers with the GFCI protected stickers in place. Record your trip tests with time and result. Note any conversations where local code clarified a gray area. Add those notes to the job file. Recap. List the rooms. Apply GFCI for shock risk and AFCI for arc risk. Pick one clean solution. A dual function breaker often solves overlap areas. Wire line and load correctly, torque to spec, label clearly, and test every protection point. Chapter 5, Multiwire Branch Circuits. Hook. Share a neutral safely by putting the two hot legs on opposite phases and using common trip. Scope. You will wire and check multiwire branch circuits that share one neutral. You will place the two hot legs on opposite phases so the neutral carries only the imbalance. You will use a two-pole common trip breaker or a listed handle tie. You will pigtail neutrals at devices so a removed device does not open the neutral. You will not list room by room protection rules or talk voltage drop here. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out both legs together. Verify 0 volts with your meter from each hot to neutral and from hot to hot. Treat both legs as live until you have proof. Keep the box clear and the floor dry. Tools and materials. Two-pole breaker with common trip. Listed handle tie that matches the breaker family when common trip is not used. Two lead multimeter. Clamp meter. Torque screwdriver. Wire markers. Wire nuts or lever connectors listed for the conductors. Short neutral pigtails of the same gauge and material. Labels for the directory. Setup. Find the multiwire. Look for a 3-conductor cable with red, black, and white. The white is the shared neutral. Follow the cable path if you can. Open the panel and find the 2 breakers that feed the red and black. Note their positions. Open the first device box on the run. Look for a pass through neutral and a device tied to one leg. Plan to pigtail the neutral at each device that will be removed for service. Steps. Step 1. Prove opposite phases. Kill power. Move both handles to off. Lock and tag them together. Remove the dead front and confirm the 2 breakers land on different phases. Put your meter on hot to hot with power restored only for the test. You should read about 240 volts. If you read near zero, the legs are on the same phase. That is wrong and dangerous. De-energize. Move one leg so the 2 sit on opposite phases under 1 2-pole breaker or under 2 adjacent spaces that accept a listed handle tie. Restore power and confirm about 240 volts hot to hot. Step 2. Require common trip or a listed tie. A multiwire must disconnect both legs at the same time. The clean path is a 2-pole breaker with common trip. If the panel and listing allow a handle tie, use the listed tie that matches the breaker family. Do not tape handles. Do not use two unrelated breakers without the listed tie. Land the conductors and torque the lugs to the printed value. If the label says 35-inch pounds, tighten to 35-inch pounds. Repeat, 35-inch pounds. Step 3. Keep the neutral with its hots. The shared neutral must travel in the same cable or raceway as the red and black. That keeps magnetic fields balanced and prevents heat. Do not route the neutral in a separate path. If you find a split path, reroute the conductors so all current carrying conductors share the same raceway or cable. Mark both hot conductors with circuit numbers at each box. Step 4. Pigtail neutrals at devices. Open each device box that sits on a multiwire. If a receptacle or switch uses the neutral must be pigtailed. Tie the feed neutral and the onward neutral with a short pigtail to the device. That way the circuit keeps a neutral path when the device is removed for service. Use connectors listed for the wire size and material. Keep all splices tight and tucked. Do the same for the hot leg that feeds a device when the device will be removed often. The goal is simple. A pulled device cannot open the neutral for the rest of the run. Step 5. Avoid mixed neutral errors with protection devices. If the circuit needs arc fault or ground fault, use a two-pole breaker that provides the function for both legs and the shared neutral. A dual-function two-pole unit keeps the sensing correct. Do not place two separate GFCI devices on the two legs while they share one neutral. Their load neutrals will fight and trip. If you must protect at a device, split the neutral and give each leg its own neutral back to the panel. The better path on a true shared neutral is the two-pole protective breaker. Step 6. Balance and test the neutral. Clamp the neutral while you run loads on both legs. A hair dryer on red and a vacuum on black makes a good check. When both draw similar current, the neutral should carry a small imbalance. Read the number out loud. If each hot shows 12 amps and the neutral shows near zero to a few amps, you are on opposite phases. If the neutral shows about 24 amps in that case, you are on the same phase. Fix the phasing before you leave. Step 7. Group and label. Group the two handles with a tie if a two-pole is not used. Place both breaker numbers on the panel directory for every box you open on that circuit. Write the words multiwire branch circuit on the directory line. Add the locations served in clear words. That helps the next tech lock and tag both legs before work. Step 8. Close clean and torque. Fold the pigtails with care. Keep neutrals neat and unstrained. Reinstall devices and plates. At the panel, check each landed conductor for strip length and full insertion. Tighten to the printed torque value. Seat the dead front. Turn both handles to on together. Walk the rooms and check operation on both legs. Verify. Read hot to hot at the panel. Target about 240 volts. Read hot to neutral on each leg. Target about 120 volts. Use the clamp meter on the neutral while two similar loads run. Target a small imbalance. Press the test button if a two-pole protective breaker is used. Both legs must trip. Reset and confirm both legs restore. If any check fails, de-energize and correct phasing, terminations, or neutral routing. Common fails and fixes. Two hot legs on the same phase. The neutral overheats. Fix it by moving one leg to the opposite phase under a two-pole breaker or under a listed handle tie. Confirm about 240 volts hot to hot. No common trip or listed tie. One leg stays live when the other is off. Fix it by installing a two-pole common trip breaker or the correct handle tie for that breaker family. Device opens the neutral. Someone wired through a receptacle screw without a pigtail. Downstream lights go bright or dim and equipment is at risk. Fix it by pigtailing neutrals and hots so device removal does not break the path. Two separate GFCI devices on a shared neutral. Nuisance trips or no power. Fix it by using a two-pole GFCI or dual-function breaker at the panel, or by giving each leg its own neutral back to the source. Neutral routed in a different raceway. Heating and induction issues. Fix it by pulling all current carrying conductors in the same raceway or cable. Tandem breakers used on the same stab. Both legs land on one phase. Fix it by moving to a two-pole breaker on adjacent opposite phase stabs or to spaces that accept a listed tie with opposite phases. Document. Photo the two-pole breaker with the rating visible. Photo the handle tie if used and the model number. Photo meter readings that show about 240 volts hot to hot and about 120 volts hot to neutral. Photo the clamp meter on the neutral with the load numbers noted. Photo each device box where you added neutral pigtails. Photo the updated directory line that names both breaker numbers and the words multi-wire branch circuit. Recap. Opposite phases give you neutral cancellation and safety. Common trip or a listed handle tie keeps both legs off together. Pigtail neutrals, so a removed device never opens the circuit. Chapter 6, derating, ambient, and voltage drop. Hook. Heat and bundles lower ampacity. Long runs drop voltage. You size up wire, not the breaker. Scope. You will adjust conductor ampacity for heat and for the number of current-carrying conductors. You will check voltage drop on long runs. You will keep the breaker at the correct rating for the wire and the load. You will not change breakers to hide problems. You will use simple voice math that works in the field. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out the panel. Verify 0 volts before you move conductors. Use insulated tools. Treat attic spaces as hot and cramped. Hydrate and plan short entries. If you see heat damage on insulation or lugs, stop and repair before you continue. Tools and materials. Pocket ampacity and correction card. Small calculator or phone in airplane mode. Clamp meter. 2-lead multimeter. Torque screwdriver. Thermometer or a reliable attic temperature estimate for the season. Notebook. Conductor resistance card that lists ohms per 1,000 feet for common sizes. Setup. Bring forward the allowable ampacity from Chapter 2. That number came from the lowest termination rating. Keep it written at the top of your page. Identify the insulation type. If the insulation is 90 degree rated, you can use the 90 degree column to apply adjustments and corrections, then cap the final result at the lowest termination rating. Mark the space where the cable or raceway travels. Attic in summer. Crawl space. Packed conduit. Mark how many current-carrying conductors share the raceway or the hole. Plan your longest one-way distance on the branch so you can check voltage drop. Steps. Step 1. Count current-carrying conductors. Count every ungrounded conductor. On a simple 120-volt circuit, that is 1 hot. On a multi-wire branch circuit, that is 2 hots. For a shared neutral in a single-phase multi-wire, do not count the neutral as current-carrying for adjustment. For a standard 2-wire circuit, do not count the equipment grounding conductor. If more than 3 current-carrying conductors share a raceway or a bundled path, you must apply an adjustment factor. Write the count on the page. Step 2. Pick your adjustment factor for the count. Use your card. 4 to 6 current-carrying conductors use an 80% factor. 7 to 9 use a 70% factor. 10 to 20 use a 50% factor. 21 to 30 use a 45% factor. 31 to 40 use a 40% factor. 41 and higher use a 35% factor. Read the factor twice. If you wrote 7 conductors, say 70%. Repeat, 70%. Step 3. Pick your ambient correction for heat. Use the location temperature. Base tables assume 30 degrees Celsius. That is 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot attics can reach 50 degrees Celsius. That is 122 degrees Fahrenheit. On your card, read the correction for the insulation temperature class you are using for the math. For 90 degree insulation at 40 degrees Celsius, the factor is about 0.91. At 50 degrees Celsius, the factor is about 0.82. For 75 degree class, the factors are lower. When in doubt, be conservative. Write the factor and read it twice. Step 4. Sequence the math in the right order. Start with the base ampacity from the 90-degree column if your insulation allows it. Multiply by the ambient correction factor. Multiply by the conductor count adjustment factor. The product is your adjusted allowable ampacity for this run. Cap the final result at the lowest termination rating you found earlier. If the cap is lower than the product, the cap controls. Do not exceed the cap. Step 5. Work one end-to-end example for heat and bundles. Say the job out loud. 12-gauge copper THH and in conduit across a hot attic. 8 current-carrying conductors share the conduit. The attic peaks at 120 degrees Fahrenheit in summer. Your count factor is 70%. Your ambient factor for 90-degree insulation at about 50 degrees Celsius is about 0.82. The base ampacity at 90 degrees for 12-gauge copper is 30 amps. Multiply 30 by 0.82. That is 24.6 amps. multiply by 0.7. That is 17.22 amps. Cap at the lowest termination rating when you pick a breaker later. If your devices limit you to 60 degrees, the cap is 20 amps for 12-gauge copper. Your adjusted number is already below 20. That means a 12-gauge conductor in this hot and crowded path cannot serve a full 20-amp circuit. You must size up the conductor. Keep the breaker at 20 amps. Move the wire to 10-gauge copper. Step 6. Confirm the size up using the same factors. Repeat the math for 10-gauge copper with 90-degree insulation. The base ampacity at 90 degrees is 40 amps. Multiply by 0.82. That is 32.8 amps. Multiply by 0.7. That is 22.96 amps. Cap at the lowest termination rating when you set devices. For small branch circuits, the breaker pairing will cap the device at 30 amps for 10-gauge copper. You intend a 20-amp circuit. 22.96 amps of adjusted allowable ampacity is greater than the 20-amp circuit load. 10-gauge copper in this path will pass the adjustment and leave you headroom. Step 7. Check voltage drop on the same circuit. Use a simple field formula. Voltage drop equals 2 times the one-way length times the wire resistance per foot times the load current. 2 accounts for the out path and the back path. For copper 12-gauge, the resistance is about 1.93 ohms per 1,000 feet. Read it as 0.00193 ohms per foot. For copper 10-gauge, the resistance is about 1.21 ohms per 1,000 feet. Read it as 0.00121 ohms per foot. Aim for a branch circuit drop under 3% at the farthest load. For 120 volts, 3% is 3.6 volts. Step 8. Work the voltage drop with numbers you can speak. Say the run length is 60 feet one way to the farthest receptacle. Say the expected worst steady load is 16 amps after you adjusted for continuous duty in Chapter 1. For 12-gauge, the drop would be 2 times 60 times 0.00193 times 16. That equals 3.7 volts. 3.7 on a 120-volt branch is a bit over 3%. Now check 10-gauge with the same numbers. 2 times 60 times 0.00121 times 16 equals 2.3 volts. 2.3 is under 3%. The 10-gauge you chose for heat and bundles also passes the drop check on a 60-foot run. Step 9. See what happens on longer runs. Say the farthest device is 100 feet one way at the same 16-amp load. 10-gauge gives 2 times 100 times 0.00121 times 16. That equals 3.87 volts. 3.87 is about 3.2%. It is close. If the design load is truly 16 amps, you can accept it with the owner. If the run will see 20 amps for real, the drop becomes 4.84 volts. That is about 4%. In that case, you can shorten the run, reduce the load, or size up to 8-gauge copper. For 8-gauge copper, resistance is about 0.76 ohms per 1,000 feet. Read it as 0.00076 ohms per foot. 2 times 100 times 0.00076 times 20 equals 3.04 volts. That is about 2.5%. The method is clear. You change wire size, not the breaker. Step 10. Lock the rule into your voice. Say it in one line. Use 90-degree insulation for math when allowed. Apply ambient correction. Apply conductor count adjustment. Cap at the lowest termination class. Then check voltage drop. If the adjusted ampacity or the drop fails, you size up the wire. You do not increase the breaker. Verify. Write the factors you used. Count factor. Ambient factor. Base ampacity column. Final cap by termination. Speak the adjusted allowable ampacity. Read it twice. With power on, test voltage at the farthest receptacle while a known load runs. A 15-amp space heater is a good sight test. Record the voltage with and without the load. The difference is the drop. If the drop exceeds your 3% target by a wide margin, plan a wire size change or a layout change. After work, torque every landed lug to the printed value. If the label says 35-inch pounds, set 35-inch pounds. Repeat, 35-inch pounds. Common fails and fixes. Ignoring attic heat. The circuit runs hot in summer and trips. Fix it by applying ambient correction and sizing up the wire. Bundling too many current-carrying conductors with no adjustment. Fix it by applying the conductor count factor or by splitting the runs, using the 90-degree column as the final answer. Fix it by capping at the lowest termination rating and by applying small conductor pairing rules, upsizing the breaker to stop trips. Fix it by keeping the breaker matched to the conductor and by solving heat and load issues with wire size and routing, forgetting the return path in drop math. Fix it by always multiplying the one-way length by 2, running long kitchen circuits at full 20 amps with 12 gauge. Fix it by planning 10 gauge for long small appliance runs and keeping the breaker at 20 amps. Document. Photo the bundle or conduit fill that drove your count. Photo the attic thermometer or your written temperature estimate. Photo your notebook page that shows base ampacity, ambient factor, conductor count factor, and the final adjusted ampacity. Photo the conductor resistance card you used. Record a voltage at the farthest device with and without a test load. Photo the panel label and write the torque value you applied. Save your math with the circuit number and the room name so you can defend the choices during inspection. Recap. Count current carrying conductors and apply the correct factor. Correct for heat with a realistic ambient temperature, then cap at the lowest termination rating. Check voltage drop on the farthest device. If the math fails, size up the wire and keep the breaker right where it belongs. Chapter 7, Inspector Checklist and Field Case. Hook. Walk in with proof and leave with a green tag. Scope. You will package your work for inspection and present a clean, verifiable story. You will show that breaker sizing, protection, shared neutrals, and adjustments were done by the book. You will close with a full field case for a kitchen small appliance layout from start to finish. You will not cover motors, air conditioners, welders, or vehicle chargers here. Safety. Wear eye protection and insulated gloves. Lock out and tag out before you open the panel or any device box. Verify 0 volts with your meter from hot to neutral and hot to ground. Keep tools dry and your stance stable. Re-energize only when you are ready to test. Tools and materials. Torque screwdriver. 2-lead multimeter. Clamp meter. Plug in GFCI and AFCI test tools as listed. Labels and a permanent marker. Camera or phone for photos. Notebook with your math and checklists. Your pocket ampacity and correction card. Panel legend available at the door. Setup. Stand at the panel and scan the story from top to bottom. The legend tells you which breaker families are listed. Your directory lines should read plain for a resident. Your notes should tie each circuit number to the math and the photos. Put your meter, clamp, and torque driver in easy reach. The inspector will want 3 things. Clear labeling. Proof of correct device choice. Evidence that loads and conductors match. Steps. Step 1. Directory truth. Open the directory and read the first 3 lines out loud. Bedroom east lights and receptacles, 15 amp single pole, AFCI. Kitchen small appliance 1, 20 amp 2-pole or 2 singles as listed, dual function if adopted. Dishwasher dedicated, 20 amp single pole, GFCI where required. The language is simple. A resident can understand it. The inspector hears that you know the use and the rating. Step 2. Breaker type and listing. Open the dead front. Point to the panel legend. Show that each installed breaker is a listed type and frame. If tandems are present, point to the marked positions that allow them. If a 2-pole feeds a multi-wire, put a finger on the common trip handle. If a dual function unit is installed, say the device name and show the label. You match the listing and the location. That is what the legend demands. Step 3. Pairings and small conductor rule. Speak the base pairings. 14 gauge copper on 15 amps. 12 gauge copper on 20 amps. 10 gauge copper on 30 amps. You did not exceed these ratings on general branch circuits. If THHN in conduit showed higher values at 90 degrees on the chart, you still capped at the lowest termination class and at the small conductor rule. The inspector will not need to argue this point if you say it first. Step 4. Torque record. Show the label with the torque value. Read it. 35 inch pounds. Repeat. 35 inch pounds. Open your log. Line up the circuit numbers with the date and the value you applied. If the inspector wants a spot check, place the torque driver on a spare lug or a listed test point to show your setting. You are not guessing. You follow the printing. Step 5. Protection by location. Walk room to room on paper first. Bedrooms and living areas carry arc fault protection in many places. Kitchens, garages, basements, laundry areas, and outdoors often carry ground fault. Where both are required, you used a dual-function breaker. If a first device GFCI protects downstream, show line and load photos and the sticker on each downstream cover that reads GFCI protected. Press every test button in front of the inspector. Reset and prove the load holds with a lamp. Step 6. Multiwire proof. If a shared neutral exists, show hot to hot at the panel. Read about 240 volts. Read hot to neutral on each leg. Read about 120 volts. Show the common trip handle. Open one device box and show the neutral pigtail that keeps the path when the device is removed. The neutral remains in the same cable or raceway as both hots. Clamp the neutral while two similar loads run. The reading is the small imbalance. That proves opposite phases. Step 7. Ampacity and termination class. Open your notes. For each circuit, you wrote the conductor size, material, and insulation. You wrote the lowest termination rating on the path. You picked the ampacity from the correct column for that rating. Read one example out loud. 12-gauge copper NM-B, 60-degree terminations, allowable ampacity 20 amps. That number flowed into breaker choice in Chapter 3. Step 8. Heat and bundle adjustments. If a conduit run crosses a hot attic or shares space with other current-carrying conductors, show the math. Start with the 90-degree insulation column when allowed. Apply the ambient correction factor. Apply the conductor count factor. Cap at the lowest termination class. Read the final adjusted allowable ampacity for the run. If the number fell below the target load, you sized up the conductor and kept the breaker rating correct. That is your rule. Size up wire, not breaker. Step 9. Voltage drop check. Show the farthest one-way length and the expected steady load. Read the resistance per foot for the wire size. Read your math. 2 times length times resistance per foot times current equals drop. Aim for about 3% or less at the branch end under load. Show the actual meter readings with and without a heater or vacuum plugged in. The difference is the real drop. Your numbers match your math within reason. Step 10. Workspace and finish. Confirm clear working space at the panel. 30 inches wide and 36 inches in front is a common rule. Speak your local clearance requirement and show the tape if asked. Cover plates sit flat. No open knockouts. No exposed bus. No double lugs where a single is listed. All labels read clean. You are ready to call for the green tag. Verify. Press every test button. Read voltage at a sample device on each circuit. Look for heat or odor at lugs under a moderate load for 5 minutes. Recheck that the dead front sits flat and all screws are snug. Read back your torque number for one breaker. 35 inch pounds. Repeat. 35 inch pounds. If anything fails, de-energize, correct, and test again before you invite the inspector. Common fails and fixes. No proof of listing. The breaker family is not on the legend. Fix it by using only listed breakers and moving tandems to allowed positions. Oversized breaker on a small conductor. Fix it by dropping to the correct pairing or by changing the wire to the proper gauge. A FCI or GFCI placed wrong or missing. Fix it by using a dual function breaker in overlap areas or by placing a first device GFCI with line and load correct and labels on downstream outlets. 2 single poles feeding a multi-wire with no tie. Fix it by installing a 2-pole common trip breaker or a listed handle tie and proving opposite phases. No neutral pigtails on multi-wire device boxes. Fix it by adding pigtails so a removed device cannot open the neutral path. No adjustment for heat and bundling. Fix it by applying correction factors and sizing up wire while holding the breaker rating. Document. Photo the panel legend with your finger on the breaker family. Photo each breaker with the rating visible. Photo the torque label and write the applied value in your log. Photo the GFCI line and load before you close the box. Photo the downstream covers with the GFCI protected stickers in place. Photo the clamp meter on the neutral of a multiwire while 2 similar loads run. Photo your notebook page that shows ampacity selection, ambient and bundle factors, and the voltage drop math. Save all images with circuit numbers and room names. Field case. Kitchen small appliance layout. Plan for strong loads that cycle and can run for long periods. Many areas require at least 2 small appliance branch circuits for kitchen countertop receptacles. Follow local code for the exact count and placement. You will build one clean circuit from start to finish, and then mirror it for the second. Load and runtime. List common appliances. Coffee maker at 1000 watts. Toaster at 1000 watts. Blender at 600 watts. Mixer at 300 watts. Phone chargers are small. Space heaters should not live here, but owners try them. Treat countertops as high demand and likely to see long use in the morning. Breaker and wire. Choose a 20-amp breaker for small appliance duty. Choose 12-gauge copper conductors as your base. If the run crosses a hot attic or shares a crowded raceway, plan 10-gauge copper and hold the breaker at 20 amps. That keeps trips down and drop in range. Protection. Use a dual-function breaker if your area requires both arc fault and ground fault on small appliance circuits. That single device gives both protections from the panel onward. If local rules use device-based ground fault, place a GFCI device at the first outlet and protect downstream with the load terminals. Label the downstream covers. Circuit path. Lay the run from the panel to the first box on the counter wall. Keep cable or conduit neat and secured. Map the farthest receptacle. Measure the one-way distance for drop math. If the run will exceed about 75 feet and the kitchen sees heavy use, pick 10-gauge copper and stay with a 20-amp breaker. Math. Assume a steady 16-amp draw at peak breakfast time when a coffee maker and a toaster run together. If the one-way distance is 60 feet and you use 12-gauge, the drop is about 3.7 volts. That is a bit over 3% on 120 volts. Move to 10-gauge. The drop falls to about 2.3 volts. That sits under 3% and feels solid under load. Terminations. Land the conductors at the breaker. Strip to the mark. Insert fully. Torque to the printed value. If the label says 35-inch pounds, set 35-inch pounds. Repeat, 35-inch pounds. At each device box, make tight splices. Use pigtails for equipment grounds and neutrals where devices will be removed often. Keep box fill within limits. Use listed connectors. Test. Energize the circuit. Plug a heater or two hair dryers into the far receptacles. Read voltage at the farthest box during the test. Record the reading and the load. Test the dual function breaker. Reset. If you used a first device GFCI, press the test button and verify the downstream outlet's drop, and then reset. Label the directory with plain words. Kitchen small appliance 1, north counter, 20 amp, dual function. Second circuit. Mirror the steps for the second small appliance circuit on the other counter wall. This spreads load and gives users options. If local code assigns certain receptacles to certain circuits, place them as required and label boxes with the circuit number inside the cover for future service. Closeout. Walk the inspector through the two circuits. Show protection math and labeling. Hand over your photo set and your torque log page. Speak the numbers clearly. You made choices that keep conductors cool, drop within range, and protection correct. You kept the breaker at the right rating and sized wire to match real conditions. Verify. Press all test buttons again with the inspector present. Read back the voltage at one far receptacle under a known load. Read the torque value one more time. 35-inch pounds. Repeat. 35-inch pounds. If the inspector has a question, show the page where you wrote the factor or the rule. You do not argue. You show proof. Recap. Label clean, prove listing, and match wire to breaker by rule. Show protection by location with working test buttons and plain stickers. Carry math for heat, bundles, and drop, and size up wire instead of the breaker.